I'm Sydney Gant, this is Break the World, and we are doing this. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first episode of Break the World. You are a real one for that. I want to waste no time. I want to hop right into this because I want to give a very special shout out to a legend, to the GOAT, R.I.P. O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson is one of these people who, even though I know nobody lives forever, I never once considered that one day O.J. Simpson would be dead. O.J. Simpsons don't die. He's such a fixture in the American zeitgeist that he's basically immortal. No lie, he is probably one of the most prominent figures in modern American history. Huge impact on society. I don't think O.J. Simpson gets enough credit, or the O.J. Simpson trial gets enough credit for its impact on race relations. Either the O.J. Simpson trial had a positive impact on race relations, or the O.J. Simpson trial proved how far we had come as a society on race relations. Because we went from Emmett Till to O.J. Simpson in a period of like 40 years. That is a huge leap forward. We went from a young man whistling at a white woman and then being lynched to death because of it, to a black man murdering a white woman and then walking free in a court of law. A jury of his peers, he beat the legal system, walked free. They said it couldn't be done. They absolutely said it couldn't be done. He beat the system. That is, I don't care what anybody says, that's progress. That is what progress looks like. Hear, hear. For the O.J. Simpson trial. Hear, hear for O.J. Simpson. I personally should be thanking O.J. Simpson because I'm with a white woman. We've been together for 20 years. My wife is white. And O.J. Simpson has had one of the biggest impacts on interracial relationship power dynamics in the history of the world, probably. Who knows what it was like to be with a white woman before the O.J. Simpson trial? You don't know. They could have been. I mean, I don't know. I personally don't know what interracial relationships were like before the O.J. Simpson trial. White women could have been cunts before the O.J. Simpson trial. Who knows? I mean, you know, at the very least, they probably thought they had the upper hand if any conflict between them and their black beau went to a court of public opinion. They probably for sure thought they had the upper hand. Then O.J. Simpson came along and was like, anything can happen. I just want you to know that there are no rules in love and war, even interracial love and war. Anything could happen. And I think that was able to put the black man back in the driver's seat as the man in the relationship, in an interracial relationship. Basically, O.J. Simpson walked so I could run. O.J. Simpson, you the man. Please, please, let's all join together in a moment of Heisman. For the late, great O.J. Simpson, strike a pose, strike your Heisman pose. In your mind, stiff arm a white bitch and then jump over the legal system for the late, great O.J. Simpson. Amen. I don't know how he died either. I didn't look it up. I just got the alerts on my phone and I saw the headlines. I didn't really look it up. I didn't read any of the articles. I don't want to know. I don't want to find out that O.J. Simpson died in a boring way. That would be a little bit of a strike to my heart, because he had such an exciting life, man. The highest of highs, the lowest of lows, like that, man. I don't think any one person really got to experience every part of the bell curve like O.J. Simpson. He did it all. He absolutely did it all. He was a fucking Heisman Trophy winner. He was a movie star. He was a murderer. He was acquitted. He, you know, got his memorabilia back from someplace, and he had gotten in trouble with the legal system there. He went to prison. He got out. He became lovable again somehow. Nobody has experienced the bell curve like O.J. Simpson. So I don't want to find out that he died in a boring way. I don't know about you, but my crazy people in my life, like the people that I know because they do crazy stuff in my life, I also don't want them to go out any other way but crazy. I want them to in like a lion, out like a lion, which I guarantee you conflicts with the way they want to go out. Because I'm pretty sure, like every other human on earth, they want to go out peacefully in their sleep, but I can't have that. I need my crazy people going out like crazy people. I'm probably going to just tell my kids that O.J. Simpson died from looking directly at the solar eclipse. That is a great way to go out. That's the Viking's death. Looking directly at the solar eclipse and dying because of it. That's how you do it. Being one with nature. You got to be one with the elements. You got to go back to your roots. Man, the solar eclipse is one of those events that makes me hate science. Or at least hate people citing science. Because they say bullshit. They say some of the dumbest shit that I ever heard. Of course, we know not to look directly at a solar eclipse. No doubt about it. Nobody's even debating that. But the reasons that people tell us not to look at the solar eclipse are so annoying. They don't make sense. So one of the reasons they tell us not to look at the solar eclipse is because they say that during the solar eclipse, the sun is somehow magnified, which doesn't make any sense. I don't care what kind of degree you have in science. I am not believing that. And yes, I'm stupid, but you're not going to convince me that the sun, partially covered, is somehow more powerful than the naked sun. I don't know if you know this, but I was stupid enough in my early childhood to look directly at the sun multiple times, and I know for a fact that it sucks. I'm not here to tell you that looking directly at the sun doesn't suck. It sucks. I had spots in my eyes it felt like weeks. It felt like I was seeing, it could have been longer than that. I mean, I don't really remember. I wasn't tracking it because I was afraid to let anybody in my family know that I was dumb enough to look directly at the sun. I just know that I had like little sunspots. I could see the sun every time I closed my eyes. It was there. It was sizzled on my retina, man. So you can't convince me that if you block a Hadouken, it dissipates. It's way less strong if you take a Hadouken straight to the chest. So you if you block the sun, which is the most powerful Hadouken, then it's not going to be as powerful. And so here's one of the reasons they say that it's magnified. Because with the moon covering the sun, it gets dimmer. And that amount of dimness makes our pupils dilate. And then while our pupils are dilated, we're taking in more light. So if in that moment we look directly at the solar eclipse, it will be magnified. Now listen, I'm not going to say that's not clever bullshit, but it's bullshit. There's no way that's true. And I don't have any sort of degree or learning that backs my opinion that is bullshit. But here's my counter bullshit to that bullshit, right? When there is a solar eclipse, when the moon is covering the sun, it doesn't suddenly go from day to night. It's still daytime. It's still a bright, beautiful day. So you mean to tell me that it is so dim that our pupils are dilated, yet it's so bright that it's still objectively daytime? None of that makes sense. Listen, it would be much more impactful to me if you just said, look, even though the sun is slightly obscured by the moon, don't look at it because it's still the fucking sun. I would be like, all right, that's good science. That's some science that I can get behind. It's still the sun. That is objectively true. You can't argue with that. Just because, listen, if you put a fat lady in front of me, I'm still me. I'm behind the fat lady, but I'm still me. That's objectively true. That works in every single scenario. Like, I don't lose any of my abilities because I'm behind. You won't be able to see me, if depending on how fat she is or how big she is, but I'm still back there vibing. You'll still be able to feel my vibe. Dude, my vibe might even be magnified if I'm behind a fat lady. Break the world, people. We're breaking the world here. Yeah, I think everybody wants to be considered a smart person, but I also think that we give smart people too much credit. I'm guilty of it too. I give smart people way too much credit. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you're talking to somebody smarter than you and you tell them something that they didn't know? Like, you inadvertently teach a smart person something? For me, that's a very intimidating moment. Anytime I'm talking to someone smarter than me and I say something and they go, huh, I didn't know that. Instantly, I'm like, wait, hold on, maybe I'm wrong. Oh, I apologize, strike that from the record. Let me Google that first. I did not intend on adding to the conversation. I thought I was just showing you that I know some of the stuff that you also know. I apologize. I might have just made that up. That's a tough, tough situation for me, man. It just happened to me recently. I was talking to a friend of the family. She's smarter than me. Her and her husband are probably both smarter than me. And I was talking to them about microwaves. And I don't know if you know this, but all microwaves leak radiation. And I told her that all microwaves leak radiation. And she was like, huh, I didn't know that. And instantly I was like, fuck, what have I just done? I think I might have just embarrassed myself and my family. I don't know why I said that. I left that conversation so nervous. I didn't even speak anymore on the subject. I left that conversation so nervous that I ended up Googling to see if I was right again. And it was. I was never wrong. I was right the whole entire time. But just the fact that somebody smarter than me didn't know that, I instantly didn't have faith in my knowledge. We can't be doing that, people. We got to believe in ourselves a little more than that. We got to find a way. There's got to be, I don't know, there's got to be some math that, because stupid people know stuff too. Smart people don't have a monopoly on information, especially in 2024. We all have tiny computers with all the information in the world in our pockets at all time. There's no way that I shouldn't have faith in my knowledge. As a matter of fact, I'll put it to you this way. If you take that person who's smarter than me and you look at my phone and their phone and you look at our screen time, I guarantee you I have more screen time than they do. I'm getting way more information on a regular basis than they are because my screen time is out of this world compared to a smart person. So that alone should make me believe in myself more. You're too smart. You don't have the amount of time. I have way more time on my hand to gain useless trivia than you do. You're smart. You're out there doing smart shit. I'm racking up screen time. There's no way you know more than I do. Actually, I'm going to roll with that. I think stupid people in 2024 are smarter than smart people. How about that? Break the world, people. Let's go. I feel pretty good right now. I just got done stretching. Take my dog out for a fetch. I feel nice. I wanted to start off the episode like this with giving a little bit of a health tip, but I guess we're here now. We're at this point, so I'll tell you now. Health tip for this episode. Hopefully I'm able to do this every episode, but the health tip for this episode, stretch your body. Get that blood moving throughout your body. And I'm not talking about have like an hour long yoga routine or, you know, sit there and stretch for like 5 minutes at a time. All I'm saying is do something to move your body, get your body into a dynamic stretch, circle your wrists, move your neck from side to side, you know, hinge at the waist. And, you know, I don't know if you can touch your toes, but go as far as you can and get that stretch in the back of your hamstrings. Get that blood coursing through your body, man. Move that hemoglobin through your body. Let yourself feel good. You're a physical creature. You're a movement machine. You might not be an athlete, but you do athletic stuff on a regular basis. I don't care what anybody says. If you walk from the top of the stairs to the bottom of the stairs or from the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs, that's an athletic movement. That's athletic. It's not a sport. Going up and down the steps is not a sport. but it's definitely an athletic activity. You're a daily athlete. You got to treat yourself as such. You got to move, man. All animals, all land animals stretch. My dog stretches all the time. Lions stretch. You mean to tell me you're better than a lion? You're not. You got to stretch. Be the daily living athlete that you are. Man, I took my dog for a fetch the other day, and this is about to be about athleticism, right? Where seeing athleticism in places where you don't even expect to see it. So I took my dog for a fetch the other day, and I'm down at the dog park. And when I go to take my dog for a fetch, I use this stick called the Fetch It. It's this long stick. You put the ball in it, and then you can launch the ball far as hell, right? It's really easy on the shoulders, and you can just, it's like an atlatl for dog balls. If you know what an atlatl is, it's an ancient instrument where it was a stick with a spear attached to it, and they used to launch these spears into herds of buffalo and just go and eat, just feast on buffalo, right? So basically, it's an atlatl for dog balls. And I get a little judgmental when I go down to the dog park and I see other people throwing the ball for their dog and they don't have an atlatl, or a fetch it is what it's called. When I see people without this, I get very judgmental because I just don't believe that they can throw the ball far enough to get their dog the proper exercise, right? Their dog isn't getting the proper exercise. They're not burning enough calories. My dog runs, man. My dog has, it's like, you know, my dog goes off into the horizon. That's how far I'm throwing this ball, right? So I go down to the dog park, and there's not many people at the dog park. It's just me, another guy, and this chick with her dog. I see this chick down there all the time. She's a very annoying lady. She might be a nice person, but she never brings poop bags to the dog park, and she walks around with her dog on a leash begging other people for poop bags, which really bothers me because I know for a fact if nobody else is down there to give this bitch poop bags, her dog is shitting all over the park. So that annoys me. Like, why do that? Why? Now every time you go back down to the park, you have to be cautious about stepping in the shit that your dog left there. Man, I want to be able to walk freely at the dog park, but I can't because of people like her. So this guy's down there with his dog, and the dog's playing with the ball at the moment. And this is a gay guy, right? I'm not making fun of him because he's gay. It's just a very important fact for this story. This is a gay guy. How do I know that he's gay? Here you go. He's standing with his hand on his hip, but the hand that's on his hip, his fingers are pointed towards his back, and his thumb is pointed towards his front, and he's like hipping into it, and he's like serpentine in his torso, and he's looking at his phone with the foot, not the on the side that is not have his hand on his hip, where he's holding his phone, his foot's like a foot out in front of him, and he's hipping into, he's standing very gay. It's the international stance for gay. I think all across the globe, if a man is standing like that, you can rest assured that as a gay man, without feeling bad about your judgment. And yes, there are times where you will see a straight man standing like that, but the only reason why a straight man will ever be standing like that is because he just did something athletic that his body obviously can't do, and he thinks he pulled a back muscle, and he's trying to massage it out or press on it really hard to relieve the pain. It's the only time you will ever see a straight man standing like that, right? So this is a gay guy, and his dog is playing with the ball, and I'm throwing with the fetch it, and I'm looking over at this dog playing with the ball, and I'm like, obviously, your dog is playing with the ball because your dog is trying to invent new games to be able to burn enough calories to feel like it got the proper exercise down here at the dog park with you. You can't throw the ball far enough with your naked arm to get this dog exercise. And then his dog drops the ball in front of his feet. He picks up the ball, and when I say this man had a fucking cannon for an arm, I have never seen in person a human throw anything that far. And I ran track. I came up at a time in track in my area where there was this dude setting state records in the javelin at a school that was like two blocks away from us. He trained with me over the summers. Shout out Barry Flicker. He was setting records in the javelin. I got to see his records. And still, I have never seen anybody throw anything this far. It was insane. It was so impressive that the white lady that was down there was looking at me like, yeah, that shit's crazy, right? Like, she, like, with the eyes, you know, the wide eyes, like, every time he would throw the ball, and it was like, it was like he was swinging a bat, that sound that people, like, the bat makes when you, it's like, breaking the sound barrier every single time he was throwing his ball. So impressive. He was black. So some of it was probably genetic. He was black. So, who you know, that's, and that's, you never, I wonder if, you can make a case that if there is an extra muscle in black people, that it's not in the same place for every black person. Because, I'm pretty good at speculating on whether or not a person can run fast or jump high. And this wasn't a fast runner or a high jumper. This wasn't a high jumper. But he was launching that ball. His extra muscle, if there is one, was definitely in his shoulder complex. He was launching the shit out of this ball. And it was very impressed, and I wanted to compliment him, but now here we go, right? This is what's wrong with all the woke shit in society, because I can't now compliment this guy on how far he's throwing, because yes, it is true, some of the impressiveness that I have over this guy throwing this ball is because you don't expect to see that type of activity from a gay man. It's not entirely because he's gay. I've never seen anybody throw anything this far. It's impressive, period. But there's a small percentage of me that is more impressed because he's gay. And I don't think that I could conceal that with my compliment. Even though my compliment would be like, man, you got an arm on you. There's no way it's like the dot, dot, dot for a gay guy won't also come out. So I can't even compliment this man. Because I don't know how he's going to react to this, even though he's doing something that he probably wants a compliment for, because he's got to know that what he's doing is impressive. And, man, you just don't see that type of athleticism. And he was wearing business casual. So he had so many factors going on that made it that you wouldn't expect to see that type of athleticism from him. You listen, if you see a man, I don't care, any color, any ethnicity, you see a man down at a dog park with their dog in business casual, you don't expect to see this guy rifling a ball like 40 yards with one throw. You don't expect to see that. Now, let's add in the fact that he's gay, and it's even more impressive. And I'm not trying to make the case that gay people can't be athletic, like hyper-athletic. So when I was in high school, there was this gay guy on our football team, and I only played football for 1 year. I'm not trying to steal football valor. I played football for 1 year in high school. It was my freshman year. I played in 7th, 8th grade, and 9th grade. That's it. I'm not a football player. I hated every bit of it. I hated the part of football that makes it football. I hated the contact. I absolutely hated the physical contact of football. It was senseless violence, and I didn't understand why the game even existed. I put it to you this way. When I played football, anytime we had a game, I would hide on the sideline from the coaches. I did not want to be in the game. And if I was ever put into a football game, I, in my heart of hearts, felt like I was being punished by the coaches. I was on the football team, and anytime I was put in the game, I was like, why me? What did I do? You guys are mean. I hated it, man. Football felt like torture to me. And still to this day, I don't know why I played it for so many. I played it for 3 years. That's it. 3 years. I did a little bit of PAL only because I told my mom that I wanted to do ballet. And she was like, no, you're playing PAL football. And then years later, I did 7th, 8th, and 9th grade football. And it was the absolute worst, right? So I'm a bitch on the football team. And there was this guy on the football team named Jason. He was a gay guy. He wasn't out of the closet in high school, but he came out of the closet later. So all of us that knew he was a gay man back then, we were right, and we knew we were right. He's the only person that didn't know he was gay. But he stood like that. He did the gay stance. Like, in between activity at football practice, he would be gay standing. So for sure gay, but man, he could crack. One of the hardest hitters that I've ever seen. We had three really hard hitters on the football team. They were all big guys. Jason, he was a big guy. Even in ninth grade, he was like 6'1", 6'2". He's a big guy. But it was Jason, another white guy named Jason, and a white guy named Eric. The Jason that I'm talking about is a black guy. And, man, they were all trucks. They were insane. You never wanted to be in front of them when they got that downhill momentum, right? And I got cracked by two of the three. I got cracked by straight white Jason and Eric. And I made sure to never be in a situation to get obliterated by gay Jason. It was wild. And let me tell you, they all hit hard, but for whatever reason, gay Jason had this reputation of he would hit people so hard that sometimes their shoes would come off. Do you know how hard you have to physically propel yourself into another human to knock off their football cleats? Those things are laced up to the shin and tight too. And sometimes people would put tape over top of the laces to like make sure that their laces didn't come undone. And Jason would hit people so hard, man, that their shoes would come off, which was absolutely absurd. There was no way that I was ever going to be a tally on his scoreboard of exploding the shoes off of a human man. Not happening. I avoided him like death back in ninth grade football. That's a ridiculous ability, man. And the more I think about it, ridiculous ability in high school, but later on as a gay man, that was probably one of his best attributes. that he could collide into another man so hard that their clothes would come off. That had to be considered a skill set. He had to have that on his dating site. Like I could collide your clothes off. I've been known to run into people so hard that their clothes come off. Because I don't know how gay men seductively undress each other in the throes of passion. I've never seen that. And I've seen gay porn. I've not watched gay porn, but I've had gay porn put in front of me and like in college, like, haha, look at this. And you're like, oh, get that out of my face. You don't even know what you're looking at until you see it. And you're like, oh, get that out of my face. Like, I've had that happen to me. But I don't even know if they watched gay porn, the people that were showing it to me. I don't know if any man has ever watched gay porn. We've only seen it. I don't know if any gay man has ever seen a gay porn from beginning to ending. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if any straight man has ever watched a gay porn from knock, 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 pizza delivery to I don't know if anybody's ever seen that. So I don't know how gay men undress each other. And I would personally like to hold on to the idea that even though they're gay, they're still men. So they still have some masculine traits inside of them that probably come out in times when they're least expecting it. Times when they can't really control it. You know, like in the throes of passion, when you're the most unbridled, that's probably when their masculine traits come out. So they do probably stand across the room from each other and run into each other so hard and just keep doing that over and over again until the proper clothes come off that allows them to get it in. So basically the way gay men undress each other is like a gay Street Fighter bonus stage. You know what I'm talking about? Like the Street Fighter bonus stage where they would have to fight a car and they would keep punching the car. And the more they punched the car, the more different parts of the car would start exploding off. Like the rearview mirror would come off. The hood would come off. That's basically how gay men undress each other. It's a gay Street Fighter bonus stage where they just run into each other. And then like the belt unbuckles. And then they have to go back to the other side of the room and run into each other again until like the shoes come off. And then I don't know if gay men take their socks off when they have sex. They're probably just two socked gentlemen going at it. Would that be too gay if two men who were about to have sex with each other both took their socks off? Is that going too far? Personally, I think it is. You got to keep your socks on. Listen, I'm not here to judge anybody's sexual proclivities, But I don't think it's right if gay men have sex with their socks off. That is where I draw the line. Break the world, people. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. So I'm off of sweets right now. I am, I think, 15 or 16 days out of eating donuts. I'm off of sugar for a little while. I keep going through these phases where I will eat some sort of sweet treat. It's either cake or donuts. It's never both of them at the same time. I'm either going through a cake phase or go through a donut phase. But I eat sweets so much to the point where my toe starts hurting. I get a little gout. I get some gout symptoms, and then I stop. And it's terrible for my body, I'm sure. I've never checked to see if I have diabetes, and that's why I don't have it. That's my medical advice for the day. If you don't want a disease, don't get checked for it. We all have seen it. We all have seen, like, somebody goes and they get checked for something, they find out that they have it, and then their body starts to deteriorate. But before they found out that they had it, they seem to be kind of fine. Don't go get checked for stuff. You can't have something if you don't know you have it. It's all in the brain. If you don't want AIDS, never get an AIDS test. The more you know, people, we're breaking the world here. So I don't know if I'm diabetic. I could very well be diabetic. I don't feel diabetic, but like I said, I keep going through phases where I eat sweets until my toe hurts and then I stop doing it. But I don't, you know, sweets are delicious. We all know that. You know, I used to say that I struggle with sweets, but I realize that's kind of a ridiculous thing to say that you struggle with something that's delicious. You know, you don't struggle with things that you want, right? It kind of reminds me of back when Tiger Woods was banging all those diner waitresses and then he claimed to have a sex addiction. Where it's like, come on, dude. You're not addicted to sex. You're just lucky. You can't be addicted to something that everybody wants to do. Everybody wants as much sex as you're getting. That's not an addiction. You're just knocking boots. That's it. You're just living the life that we all want to be living. You can't claim to be addicted to something that everybody wants. Like heroin. Everybody doesn't want heroin. Everybody doesn't want to be doing heroin. If you can't stop doing heroin, you're struggling with heroin addiction. That's a fact. Opioids. If you can't stop doing opioids. I don't know why I can't say that. Opioids. My Pennsylvania accent keeps coming out too strong when I try to say opioids. Man, that's a one word tongue twister for me. Opioids. There it is. I think I did it. I don't know. That's the best I've ever said it. But yeah, if you can't stop doing that, man, you're struggling. So I don't really have a problem with sweets. I have a problem with moderation. If I could just eat one donut a week, or if I was going through a cake phase, maybe one slice of cake a week. I mean, honestly, the fact that I only eat just donuts or I only eat just cake, that to me is moderation. That's the best I can do for moderation. Like, I didn't grow up in a moderation culture. My family, they weren't moderators. They were do whatever the fuck they want to's. If they want to eat it, they eat it. You know? Like, my dad's mom, she remarried. You know, she wasn't with my actual grandpa. And she was married to this guy that was so diabetic that he had no feet and he was... I'm going to use the word living, but he was not living. He was dying, but he was living in the living room, well, in a hospital bed, shitting in a bag. He was bedridden in a living room, shitting in a bag because he was so diabetic, and he was still having people sneak like Snickers and Twix into him all the time. Absolutely wild. Like that. That's what I come from. That's what I grew up seeing. So I don't have very good moderation skills, you know? I'm more on the YOLO side of things. And I grew up with people that were YOLOing too much. I grew up with people that struggled with YOLO. I grew up with a bunch of you only live oncers who definitely took that as far as you could take it, you know? That's a problem that seems to be rampant in the black community. Because, listen, even though everybody eats bad food, like all races eat bad food, only black people have it as an attribute of our race. Like, we make fun of white people for not seasoning their food, but basically we're making fun of white people for eating a reasonable amount of salt on their food. That's what we're really making fun of them for. That's what makes food delicious, a little bit too much salt. Not so much salt that you can feel the electricity when you bite the food, but more than is healthy. You have more than is healthy amount of salt to make food delicious, or more than is healthy amount of sugar, which I think all sugar is unhealthy, but that is neither here nor there. But that's what seasoning food is in the black community. It's just past healthy. And then we make fun of people for not doing that. That's insane. And I don't think that's happening in Africa. I don't think the original, like the orthodox black people, the black people that all black people come from, I don't think they do that. I think that's a black American thing. I think that's an aftermarket modification for black people. Yeah, that's not right off the fat. That's not that you don't come off the line eating bad food, man. And I'm not even saying that Africans don't eat terrible food. They eat terrible food. I saw this video on YouTube of this, you know, I would say a tribe in Africa, but there were at least people in Africa. I don't know. It's maybe ignorant of me to assume that everybody that is black in Africa comes from a tribe in Africa. But that is how I feel, and that is how I express anytime that I see anything happening in Africa. So this is a tribe in Africa. And they eat mosquito burgers. Yeah, you heard that correct. They eat mosquito burgers. They collect enough mosquitoes to squash them together and form a patty, and then they fry it on like a little pan, and then they eat that shit. That is wild. It's probably packed with protein. No seasoning, though. No condiments, no bread. They eat it in the whitest way possible. These Africans are eating mosquito burgers as white as they could possibly eat them. Absolutely disgusting, man. I would never do it. You could tell me, you could give me the nutrition facts for that and show me that a mosquito burger is the healthiest thing you could possibly eat. And give me Burger King. Give me things that I shouldn't be eating because that's what I'm conditioned for. I don't want that shit. Can't have it. YOLO. YOLO. I'm not eating that. That could be P. Diddy's problem. He probably has a YOLO problem. I mean, listen. A YOLO problem can manifest as other problems. So yes, he is also a sex pest for sure. But the genesis for his sex pesting could be YOLO. Maybe he's a person that accrued so much wealth and power that he can't imagine leaving any version of coming on the table. He's just probably one of those people that he's just so powerful where it's like, if I want to come, I'm coming. Like, I can't imagine having a feeling of wanting to come and not coming immediately. I don't care if it's a man in the room. I don't care if it's a woman in the room. I'm coming. I want to see what I want to see. I want to be aroused right now. I don't have a boner. I don't understand why I don't have a boner. I want to see my wife banging another dude right now. I want a boner. I want a boner in the weirdest possible way I can have it. I'm Diddy. I have the money to do it. I can make it happen. I can call all the people that I need to call. I can connect all the people I need to connect to get weird boners. And I'm not going to not have weird boners if I want to have a weird boner. And that's probably why I'm not a freak. I can't afford it. I don't have enough disposable income to do freaky things. Like, I've been with my wife for 24 years. We've never done anal. I just don't believe that I have ever made enough money for my wife to feel comfortable looking me in the face after getting her asshole split open. Because I don't care what anybody says. Nothing should go inside the butt. The butt is exit only. When you start putting things inside the butt, like, listen, I've seen porn. You see their buttholes are slightly dilated, like they're looking at the solar eclipse. Those buttholes are dilated. That's from wear and tear. That's from unusual wear and tear with things going in the exit hole. And there's, listen, I can't have my wife look at me in the face knowing that I'm dilating her butthole without her also getting something on the back end. I mean, she'll be getting something on the back end, if you know what I'm saying. But I don't have enough money to make her feel like that's okay. At least I don't believe that. So that's why I don't even do freaky stuff. I'm just standard issued sex. That's it. Just the regular stuff. Because that's all my disposable income can afford me with my woman. And I'm okay with that. Like I don't even have enough money to be curious about weird boners and weird coming. And I'm okay with that. I'm gonna live the life that I'm living. Yeah, it's pretty insane. Dude, just the idea that you have to have a certain amount of money to be able to go inside your wife's butt is a pretty insane proposition. And if you're with a woman and you don't have enough money and she's letting you in her butt, that is a red flag. That woman has low self-esteem. You can't be out here with women that have such low self-esteem that they're letting your poor ass in her ass. That's absurd. Oh, man. All right, I think that's good for the first episode of Break the World. I think that's what we're going to be doing here, man. This is what Break the World is about. If you're the kind of person that knows a little bit about a lot of things and you just fill in the gaps of your knowledge with your own absurd logic and silly common sense, this is your home. You found it. We're here for you. Let's develop this relationship together. I probably should have said this earlier, but you know what I mean? If you made it to this point, subscribe, like, review, rate, share this with your friends. Let them know that there's some more retardedness out there for them. It's here. We're here. Let's do this. I'm still going to be doing my other podcast, Chakra Poppers. We're still going to be doing that. If you're a fan of Chakra Poppers and that's why you even tested this out, we're still going to be doing Chakra Poppers. If you are just coming to this for the first time, I do another podcast with my wife where we bring comedians on and everybody gets the same questions, but we're basically trying to see if we can make them reach enlightenment by asking them questions associated with popping open their chakras. And it's way funnier than it might sound. It's absolutely absurd. Come check it out. It's a really good time. Other than that, thank you guys for giving this first episode of Break the World a shot. I hope it met your expectations. I hope you were able to waste some time and have some laughs or maybe even learn a thing or two while listening to this. Yeah, and I'm going to be doing this weekly. So I already know some of the stuff that I want to talk about for the next episode. We're going to talk about the gayest sports. I'm going to make a tier list of the gayest sports. And we're also going to talk about how I feel about the evolution of racial slurs and where it should go. We're going to get on that. So, and hopefully that's something I'm going to be able to do each week at the end of the episode. I'll give you a preview of what I want to talk about on the next episode. So hopefully that wets your whistle and you want to hear my ridiculous take on those things. You want to hear my ridiculous take on the gayest sports and what we should be doing with racial slurs. We're not using them properly. There's a better way. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. And I'm out.